subject of conscience. And last night we looked at help for the helpless, how our God can help us when we aren't able to do anything. And so I was wondering, what was a good one to end on that we can take home as a challenge for our lives? And so tonight we're going to look at help in prayer, because this is such a critical part of how the Lord helps us in what we do and the things we need. You know, this has been a tough year for many people. My own situation was very unique, where all of a sudden I'm at home for 5 months, spending a lot of time by myself. And you know, a situation like we've been going through in our land is really a test of our faith. And when you go through a test, it either does one of two things. It either it builds you up or it brings you down. And so I wonder what has happened in your life in the last few months as our world has really changed a lot. And sometimes you notice a little bit of both, isn't it? Sometimes you've been built up to trust the Lord, and other times it's really been a challenge. There's a lot of things, though, that I've enjoyed about being home and spending time to do things that I hadn't done, like exercising. I've been walking 10 miles every day. It takes about 3.5 hours, and it's really boring. But I have enjoyed it. I eat at home. I usually eat out. But I've enjoyed making food at home. My house has never been cleaner in its life. I didn't know a house had a life, I guess. I've got to know my neighbors. They just knew me as that guy that came home late from work, and now we've gotten to know each other real well. I've read through the book of Psalms. That was a special comfort during these times. And then I prayed. You know, sometimes it's all that we have to do is to pray. In fact, that seems to be the only thing that we can do in times of trouble. And so my wonder was, you know, I've been praying, am I gonna keep it up now? Am I going to keep up that kind of prayer life? So I want to talk about how the Lord can help us together in prayer. And so what we're going to see here are a number of ways that the Lord helps us to pray. I've noticed a few things here that teach us about prayer and the subject of helping. The first one is that prayer helps us. Prayer can help us. In other words, when we pray, God helps us. Okay. The other thing is that we can help others by prayer. That's one of the delights in prayer, is that not only is it something that we need from God, it helps us as well. We can help each other with prayer. And so that's part of the blessing of prayer. Not only does God help us, start praying for my computer, I think. All right. Thanks, brother. There's our illustration of help right there. Thanks, brother. There's a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians that Paul wrote. He said, "You also helping together by prayer." If you don't know what you can do or how you can help in the assembly, one thing you know you can do is pray. In fact, one of the gifts that God has given the church is those who have the gift of helps. And that could be used in a way like praying. You know, my dad really wanted to be here. He loves to come down to Ozark Family Camp, but he wasn't able to this year. But he's been here with me in many ways. For one thing, he sends me a text every time I speak and says, "I'm praying for you." So what a joy that is to know that comfort, that connection of prayer. But then there's a third thing that we learn, is that God helps us pray. Part of God's help is that he helps us in how we should pray. So would we turn together, please, in our Bibles now this evening one last time, and now we're going to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. This is a parable that the Lord Jesus told, and there's a verse at the beginning which I think is a really important verse on prayer. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart." We ought always to pray and not lose heart. So what's interesting necessity. It's a necessity. God intends that your life would run on the power of prayer. More than anything else, perhaps, in this world, we need prayer. Now, when I ask that question, why don't we pray? I'm not saying, why don't we ever pray? I'm saying, why don't we always pray? Because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. We ought always to pray. And even though right now, at least in my life, it seems like I'm praying a lot if I say I'm too busy, it probably means that prayer is not a priority. And that gives us to the third one now. Why don't I pray? We don't believe God. Excuse me? You're saying I don't believe God. I believe God. What do we mean by that? Well, if I really believe that God is real, He's alive, and He's working in my life, of course I would pray all the time if I'm convinced of it like Elijah was. You know, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, we have a verse we love to talk about faith. Did you know it's also about prayer? Listen to what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How do we come to God? We don't physically come. We come in prayer. And if we come, we must believe that He is. And what's the result? If we believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And you can apply that to prayer. If I don't come to Him in prayer, believing, that's really saying I'm a practical atheist. Have you heard that term? Practical atheism. What does that mean? I'm not an atheist. But what is my life showing that shows I believe God? You see, I might believe God, but outwardly I can act as if I don't believe God. God said through Jeremiah, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Did God really mean that when He said it? You call to me and I will answer you. Do we believe that? God has said that to us. And so He helps us. He says, call to me. So really, we need a right understanding of who God is. Maybe that's part of the problem. I really don't know God. Because if I did, I would believe Him. And it says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So how do I believe? By knowing God through His Word. And when I go to His Word, I learn something, that I'm in a relationship with God. Sometimes we think we get saved, and then we just check in with Him every now and then. I'm sure you've gone through a time in your life where it felt that way. And if we understood that we are His, and He wants this fellowship with you every day, we would trust Him, and we would know that we need to be with Him. So what's the solution? What's the help when we don't believe God? Well, the Lord Jesus makes it very simple. He says, pray believing. That's how you pray. He says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you will receive. And so you can believe Him. Just trust Him as you pray. Number four, why don't we pray? Prayer is hard. Really? It's just talking to God. We can do it anytime and anywhere. Well, listen to what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He preached at the Westminster Chapel in London 3 times a week to thousands of people for 30 years. And here's his summary of it. He said, everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. That was his experience. Few things in the Christian life are as difficult as private prayer. You know, we might come to the prayer meeting and pray, but time alone in praying can be very difficult. And I would suggest, if you think it's easy, perhaps we really don't understand what prayer is. When I read about prayer in the Bible, it's not just checking in with God before I eat. It says the soul has poured out his soul to God. Everything that's inside of him, he pours out to God. Committing yourself to God in prayer, to focus and to concentrate in prayer, is very difficult. And when you learn that according to the writers of the New Testament, you need to keep this up every day, day in, day out, for the rest of your life, laboring fervently for you in prayer. Even if he didn't feel like it, he worked at it. It took effort. It took work. Now, if you're wondering by this point, why are we talking about all these negative things at the end of camp? Where's the encouragement? Can we get back to the boat story? That was a little more helpful, wasn't it? The reason is, the Bible tells us we need to exhort each other. We need to help each other and stir each other up. Peter wrote, "I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." He's saying, you know these things. You all know everything I'm saying. Nothing I'm going to say is going to be that hard. We know what it is, but we need to be reminded. The littlest effort I have to make to do something is the way we like to work. At our chapel, we have groups that clean the chapel. We get our turn every couple of weeks. And we get to sign up for what we want to do. And I always look to see if vacuuming is available. It's easy. Just plug it in, do it in a few minutes, and I'm done. You see, whatever is the easiest thing to do, that's what I like. And as I was making this list, I got to the first one. I'm too busy. I said, yep, that's me. It's not important. Yeah, that's me. As I kept going down the list, I noticed something. There are lots of reasons why we don't pray. Some of these might not be effective to us at all, but others are. So what's the help when I don't feel like it and there's apathy? The Lord Jesus says, watch and pray. That word is connected to prayer so many times, and what it means is wake up. You need to pay attention. You need to be on guard. You need to be vigilant like a soldier on duty. You need to watch. Remember when he said that to the disciples? What was the problem? What did they do in their prayer meeting? They went to sleep. So the Lord says, watch and pray. Would you watch an hour for me? He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, we want to pray, but we're weak. Why don't we pray? Number six, I don't know what to say. You ever get to that point where you're not really sure what to pray? You've got your six or seven phrases you're used to saying, and then what else do I say? You know, prayer can be a challenge because sometimes we don't know what to say to God. There's a lot of things in life that we don't do because we don't know how to do them. I think this is true often of a new believer, a younger believer. In the assembly I grew up, there were 10 brothers who would just stand up and make these beautiful prayers. It would just flow. And I remember someone asked someone once, do you practice those? I mean, they were so wonderful and lyrical. And so for me, I thought as a young person, God doesn't want to hear my feeble words. And so you know what happened? I never prayed in public as a kid. I didn't know what to say. Maybe you've just never been taught about prayer. the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do. Here's another way when you don't know what to say. Paul says, you listen to what I say, you watch what I do, and then you do them. So we can learn from others who pray. And most of us have learned how to pray by listening to other brothers and sisters pray in our lives. Another way, if you want to know what to say, is just go and find a prayer in the Bible. Read the prayers of the Bible. Learn what they said. What kind of things did they talk about? And that'll help us. Or find a good book on prayer. There's many. Henry Ironside has a book called Praying in the Holy Spirit. Very simple. Very helpful. George Mueller, Answers to Prayer. It'll encourage you. Any book by E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds on prayer is wonderful. You know, so these are some more obvious reasons why we don't pray. But there's also some personal reasons that we would never share with anyone. Why don't we pray? Number 7, I feel guilty. If there's sin in my life, that will keep me from praying. John Bunyan, the man who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, said this, prayer will make a man cease from sin, and sin will make a man to cease from prayer. If there's sin between you and God, you don't want to go talk to God right now. If you've made someone mad, the last thing you want to do is face them. And so one of the first things to go after we get in trouble is our prayer life. Because you feel guilty. And so then you don't pray. And what happens when you don't pray? You feel worse. And now you don't pray because we didn't pray. You know what I mean? You get in the habit of just not praying. And you feel bad and you feel worse and worse. And then you're in this spiral where suddenly a couple weeks go by and you realize I haven't prayed. You see, guilt makes me avoid God. Remember Adam in the garden hiding? So what's the solution? What's the help? The Lord makes it very simple. Just confess it. You know, that's a prayer. Confession is a prayer. Just tell God what you've done. Say, Lord, I've been away for a while. I don't want to stay away anymore. Here's what I have done. Confess your sin. And John says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And confession is a prayer. So that's something you can do. That's a help to help us get right with God and to pray. James said, you draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You just take that step. Cry out to him. There's this verse that we love to talk about with prayer in Hebrews, but I want to look at it from just a little different angle. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so we usually, and I do too, we focus on grace in this verse. It's a throne of grace, and we find grace. But you see, there's also mercy there. When we come to God in prayer and confession of sin, we obtain his mercy and grace to find help. Did you see the word help in there? It's right there. When we come to God, there is help for us in prayer. Number 8, why don't we pray? Well, what good does it do? We don't see results. We've all done this. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and it doesn't seem to have an answer. Everyone has this principle built into them. If I try something and I don't get a good result, I'm going to stop. Have you ever tried to do a new thing, a new exercise, a new diet, and after 3 weeks, it's like, this didn't work. I'm going to stop. That's built into us. Every one of us has this feeling. Does prayer really work? Is it effective? Remember Moses at the Red Sea? He prays and bam, the sea parts. I don't get to see that. Wesleyan prayer. They persisted in prayer. He wants us to keep praying. Keep on praying. Number 9, why don't we pray? We don't realize we're in a battle. We're in a battle? We're at camp. Everything's going great. We had a lot of fun. We're getting blessed by the Word of God. You see, if we don't realize we're in danger, we're going to be just like Joshua marching up to the city of Ai. You're not going to pray. If you don't think there's any evil force in this world, you're not going to pray. The people who pray are ones who believe we're in a battle, an unseen battle. And so Paul writes this to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not about people. But it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see, I think if God would pull back the curtain for just a minute and we could see what's going on in the invisible world around us with the demonic work of Satan, we would pray. If we sense that we are in a spiritual battle, we would become a prayer warrior. So what's God's help for us here? And it's the word discernment. That we'd be discerning of what's really happening. We'd know the truth of Scripture. We would have spiritual vision. We would see what is happening. We would be aware of the enemy. We open our eyes and realize we need God's protection. We need His armor. In the list of the different types of armor in Ephesians 6, at the end it says this. Right after this, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is one of the things we need to fight this fight. Prayer in the Spirit, it's things we don't see, but we need to pray. And then number 10, why don't we pray? We don't love God. Well, wait a minute. You said I don't believe God. Now you're saying I don't love God? We have just said that a believer is in a relationship with God. And so if I don't pray, what does that say about my view of the relationship? How can I say I love God if I don't speak to Him? The Lord Jesus said, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. What's the Lord's commandment? Well, it's right here in Luke 18. Men ought always to pray. That's a commandment for us. We are to do this. Thomas Manton, he said this, prayer is the conversation of a soul with God. It's the loving conversation of a loving soul with God. It's that relationship. He says, if I have a love to God, I cannot keep long out of God's company, but I'll be with Him pouring out my heart to Him. If I don't pray, can I really say I love God? If you don't talk to your spouse, if you don't talk to your brother or sister in your family, can you say you love them? Talking with those you're in a relationship. some of the